Hi, Pastor Rob here from City East Church and NTL Ministries. This sermon series is called Uncovering Religion. We live in a day where the world is saturated with contradictory faiths and beliefs. Can they all be right? Are they all wrong? As Christians, it is imperative that we understand something of what these religions teach and believe so that we can accurately discern right from wrong.
Jeremiah 8:11. And this says, they dressed the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when they are punished. So they dress the wound of my people as if it's not serious. So it's a terrible thing that the people are doing, and they just dress it with a little bandage, yet the wound is gaping and needs something far more serious. And what God's referring to there is sin, of course. The sin of the people is terrible, and we are just covering it over, you know.
Wake up.
It's 11 o'clock, everyone, just so I know. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? It's a good question. No. No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen, and they will be brought down when they are punished, says the Lord. And it's a key scripture. I just want you to keep that in mind. This sermon is from in the Uncovering Religion series. It's a sermon about the Baha'i faith. Anyone who is savvy of the world's government's plan to implement a global order or a new world order will know that the government of this world intends to enforce compliance in not only the political arenas, but also they will enforce compliance in religious arenas as well as economic arenas. So it's a threefold plan, a one world order, which is political, which is a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world currency. In relation to the one-world government and the one-world currency, I'm going to do some sermons on that stuff in January, so that'll be a few months from now. But as for a plan for a one-world religion, this entire series will slowly uncover Satan's diabolical plan to deceive the world through religion. That's what I want to really bring to light. Satan has spent the entire history of this earth deceiving the masses with false religions. That's what he's been doing. Go back 2500 BC, you get around though that period is where Hinduism started. And you got all the ancient religions as well from those periods, the Mayans and blood sacrificial sort of like, you know, killing humans to appease the gods. And there's some terrible ways of thinking religiously. They worship demonic creatures. And you can tell that by the poles of the creatures or the carvings that they were worshipping. They were demonic beasts, weren't they? If you look at the facial features of their gods, they're demons. You know, and the only reason, and in their minds, oh, it's got to be scary to scare off the demons. It's a bit bizarre. Satan also, he did it in the time of Israel as well, through the Old Testament. As recorded in Scripture, when Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments, Satan was at the foot of the mountain, stirring up the Israelites in pagan idolatry and revelry, which is just basically, you know, drinking and partying and some even say orgies and a whole range of things that were going on. And they were worshipping a golden calf that Aaron had fashioned with his own hands out of gold. Right, and this was right under the cloud of God, right there. He was right above them, and they were doing that. And Mount Sinai was covered by a cloud. Moses was up there. Like, how could you go and bow down to a false god in the midst of God's presence? It's just amazing. Throughout the history in the Old Testament, in the book of Kings, we find the Israelites were continually following the detestable practices of their surrounding nations. And they were bowing down to Baal, which is actually Baal. If you see a picture of Baal, he's a demon. It's actual blatant Satan worship. They were also bowing down to carved images and Asherah poles. They had set up high places, and they were even doing blood sacrifices by offering their children in the fire to the gods. This was Israel, God's chosen people. That's what they were doing, and you read it. Who's read the Book of Kings? You know, how many kings lived under that? The kings of Israel never actually turned from that. The kings of Judah, a few times, they did turn from that.
Some of them forgot to take down the high places.
Yeah, I know. They did all this stuff, but they left the high places. I was thinking, destroy that high place. We get up there with a chainsaw. And they even carved images of what their image of God. But then what they're doing is they're bowing down to the image. Mm. Yet God said no carved image should ever be even fashioned of himself. Because then they see God in a lesser light to what he really is. Mm. How can you put God into a piece of timber?
Yeah.
What about the Sistine Chapel?
Oh, with the pictures and...
Yeah.
Mm. No, well, that's idolatry. Anywhere where there's images being created, it's all images. God said, do not do that. It's one of the commandments to not bow down to images. So any religious system that has an image. Some people are actually still opposed to the cross, actually hanging as a necklace or something. Mm. I see it more as just a symbol of your faith, and it should be held as that. Not as a piece of jewellery, but as a symbol of your faith. Today, though, is no different. Christians are caught up in reading their star signs each day, getting their palms read, fortune-telling. As well, they also try to find common ground with Hinduism and Islam and many other religions of this world. Many Christians even accept the theory of evolution and the Big Bang theory in place of creation, the account of creation in the Book of Genesis. And many Christians are part of Freemasonry groups as well. They get sucked into feng shui and the occult, psychology and philosophy, things like that. But what is most disturbing about Satan's master plan for the religions of this world is his plan to bring about world peace by unifying the religions of this world. Many prominent Christians have been sucked into these false views, as we were talking about last week. One world religion is now officially born in this world, a spiritual equivalent to the United Nations. We now have the United Religions of this world. In our text, our spiritual leaders will declare peace when the Word of God says there is no peace. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They'll be brought down when they are punished, says the Lord. Christians like Rick Warren, Bill Hybels, Robert Schuller, who preach that we can have peace in this world when there is none, do not even know how to blush. They preach that the world will have peace when there is no peace. The Bible is clear. We will not have world peace until the return of Christ. Nor are we to waste our time working towards world peace. What does every beauty pageant...
World peace.
World peace, I want world peace. You know, it's just about such an overly used word, people don't take it seriously. Yeah, come on, mate. World peace, what are you on about? And it's true. What are we on about? If you work towards world peace, you will find yourself compromising your very faith in Christ to find common ground with deceived religions of this planet just to achieve peace will mean we have to compromise our very faith in Christ, and we could lose our salvation because of it. That's not a place I want to be. I'd rather there not be world peace and know that some of us at least get into heaven. I bring this up because the religion of Baha'i has done just that. Instead of holding firm to one faith or view of religion, they are working towards a one-world religion and have been doing so since it was founded in 1844. Baha'i believes that all the great religions of the world share the same God and that there is an essential unity between all these religions of the world. The problem with this view is whatever these religions believe that is in disharmony with the others is not of God. And it's rather the invention of man. So if one religion says, I believe in Allah and I don't believe in Jesus and that he died on the cross for our sins, and we claim we believe in God, but we believe in God has a son who died on the cross for our sins, they'll say, well, get rid of the cross thing, mate. because that's in disharmony to Islam. But now you both believe in God, the same God, but we believe in a Trinity. Yes, but no one else does, so you're wrong. So now we don't have a Trinitarian God, we just have one single God. Therefore, for a Christian to hold that Jesus is God's son and died for our sins conflicts with Hinduism and Islam and Buddhism, therefore it is false. This causes quite a dilemma for the true Christian when trying to reason with a Baha'i, because when they hear our views on Christianity, they just think, you're so foolish. You're so foolish to think that. That's what they think in their minds, because they've been indoctrinated to think that that is the very thing that is causing all the disharmony that we have in religion. So they pinpoint Christianity as a antagonist. And we are. Jesus was. You know, our Lord was an antagonist. How much more are we? I'm just going to quickly remind everybody of what this series is about. I've decided to do this series for a very real reason. Many Christians are extremely ignorant of the religions of this world. Due to this ignorance, many have been deceived by the religions of this world and lured away from Christ. A lot of Christians will even try to tell you that our God is the same God the Muslims worship or the Mormons worship and so on. They'll try to convince us that we've got the same God. Many very powerful and influential Christians have been deceived, as I explained last week. Rick Warren, Bill Hybels, these are just a few that I've just picked up on, have been deceived. And I've talked to ministers that have been deceived by these different religions and evolution and Big Bang Theory. And actual Christian ministers are holding to those views stronger than the biblical account. So in an effort to keep all of you from and those of you listening on the internet upon the path of pure devotion to Christ, I will continue to uncover the religions of this world, exposing their belief systems. If we study the religions of this world, we will be able to accurately discern truth from lies. Now, if it takes me a year to get through all these religious systems, and at the end of it, you've got just a bit of insight into each one, and you get an overall sense of how distinctly different our faith in Christianity is compared to the face of this world, you will benefit enormously for the rest of your life, I believe. Because it'll keep you on the path of life. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Staying on the path of life. And when we do move on from this life, we go to the right place. The Baha'i faith originated in Persia, which is now Iran, when Syed Ali Muhammad, who was born in 1819 and died in 1850, began preaching that the day of God was at hand. The core message of Baha'i is simple. Humanity is one single race, and all religious leaders are proclaiming the same God through various means. This is known as the central tenet of Baha'i. This maxim, which is a statement, is summarized by the 12 principles of the Baha'i faith. And these are the 12 principles. The first one is the oneness of God. The second is the unity of all religions. The third is the oneness of all mankind. Fourth is the elimination of prejudice. Five is the subjective pursuit of truth. Six is the universal world language. Seven is the equality of men and women. Eight is the universal need for education. Nine is the harmony, get this, the harmony of science and religion. 10 is the elimination of all extreme wealth and poverty. I don't think that's a new world order aim. Anyway, the foundation of a world government. So back in 1840, when this religion, they want one world government. And 12 is the cultural diversity within the context of world unity. Baha'is claim that Jesus, Muhammad, Zoroaster, Moses, Krishna, and Buddha were just forerunners of the final Baha'u'llah. And I'm going to explain who he is in a minute. Of course, this is in direct contradiction with all these religions, because all those religions don't claim all of those guys to be part of the same. But that is of little concern for the average Baha'i. They believe that Baha'i is the great unifier of all religious and spiritual truth. And Baha'i is Baha'u'llah, a forerunner of the religion. But this is their history. This Syed Ali Muhammad became deeply interested in Shia Islamic tradition. Now, Syed Ali Muhammad was the founder and he was called the Bab. The Bab means the gate. It's funny that he called himself the Bab, which is the gate. Who else said, I am the gate? But he said this, you know, at 1,850 years later. Syed Ali Muhammad became deeply interested in the Shia Islamic tradition of the Hindu 12th Imam, who had escaped death at the hands of the Sunnis and disappeared from view many years ago. Anyway, the central Shia doctrines revolving around the hidden Imam are the doctrines of occultation. Okay, I'm just going to try to go through this so you can understand it. The Gaiba is what they call it, and the return, which is the Raja, is the return. So the doctrine of occultation is this, is simply the belief that God hid Muhammad Ali Mahdi away from the eyes of men in order to preserve his life. God has miraculously kept him alive since the day he was hidden in 874 AD. Eventually, God will reveal Al-Mahdi to the world and he will return and guide humanity. In May of 1844, Syed proclaimed the Declaration of the Bab, asserting that he was the Bab. He had come to herald the arrival of the hidden Imam. Mm. He claimed that the Imam to come was greater than himself and would fulfill the expectations of all the major religions of the world and would usher in a new era of peace and justice. The Bab was an eloquent preacher and gifted writer, soon attracting a large following who became known as Babis. The Shia authorities of Persia regarded the Bab's teachings as a threat to Islam, placed Bab in prison, and he was executed by firing squad in 1850. A follower of the Bab, Mirza Hussein Ali Nuri, that's his name, 1817 to 1892, who was also imprisoned, took up the mantle of leadership of the Babis in 1863, proclaiming himself to be the one the Bab had foretold, Baha'u'llah, which means glory of God. So he declared himself to be greater than the Bab and referred to himself as the hidden Imam of the Shiites. So self-proclaimed. The Baha'i scriptures clearly assert that Baha'u'llah is regarded as God. After Baha'u'llah died, there was no more living prophets after that time. So he was succeeded by his son Abdul Baha, 1844 to 1921, and then his great-grandson Shoghi Effendi Rabbani, who died in 1957. So both made significant contributions to the faith, but were considered perfect human examples of his teachings and not an actual prophet or God himself or anything. So when you have a faith only a few hundred years old that mirrors the advent of the first coming of Jesus with a prophet like John the Baptist, who is the Bab, that one greater than me, Jesus, you know, is coming, and then the Baha'u'llah comes and declares himself to be the last Imam. It's mirroring Christianity, isn't it? But the only difference is it's coming to say the basic doctrines of Christianity are all wrong because they don't line up with the other world religions, and this is the truth now. So they're coming to replace Christianity, in essence. So we have to take the words of Christ quite seriously when he said, many will come in my name claiming I am he, and they will deceive many. Deceivers have always come and claimed godship throughout history. Have you noticed that? Yes. Muhammad, did he claim godship? Mm-hmm. What about Krishna of the Hindus? And what about Buddha? In a sense, he claimed godship, didn't he? He claimed that what he says is greater than what everyone else was saying. Even today, many religions teach that we are gods and can ascend higher than the God of the scriptures or of Christ the Son. But isn't that the desire of Satan? That's really what Satan wanted from the beginning. He wanted to be greater than God. Satan claimed to be God and attempted to ascend higher than God and destroy God. He would, you know, Satan would destroy God if he could. And isn't that just the ultimate of foolishness? The one who created everything that is and created Satan himself, Satan wants to destroy his creator. And if he was able to achieve that, would destroy himself in the process of destroying his creator. Because his creator holds it all together. So how can you destroy the one that holds it all together? You'll just destroy the universe and there'll be nothing left. The only thing with that is it's impossible to destroy God. You can't destroy him. He is there for good. All he can do is get on his side and think the right way and live the right way and do the right thing by him so that he will favour you. A very simple way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Anyway, core beliefs. This is the core beliefs of Baha'i. There is only one God who is the source of all creation. God is known through a series of manifestations. The chief and most recent is that of Baha'u'llah. Baha'is do not accept a doctrine of sin, but think only in terms of the misuse of good human qualities. God has sent and will continue to send prophets to the human race through whom the Holy Spirit has revealed the word of God. Great manifestations of the present era are Adam. Present era, notice that, present era. That there was other eras before this era.
Sorry, I have a question. Through the Holy Spirit, yet they only believe in one God.
Yes. Okay. Mm. It's all contradictory. Yeah. They drag a bit from here and a bit from there. The Holy Spirit, oh, yeah, that sounds good because he's a Holy Spirit that guides us all.
Yeah,
but no, we don't believe in the Trinity.
Yeah.
Because they don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God. They believe, though, they believe that he was a manifestation of God. So there was Adam, Abraham, Moses, Krishna, Zoroaster, Buddha, Jesus Christ, Muhammad, the Bab, and Baha'u'llah being the last. So all the great religions of the world share the same God, and there is essential unity between them. Every person has an immortal soul, which at death is freed to progress through the spiritual world, progress through new levels. There will ultimately be a single world government based on Baha'i's administrative framework. So they're setting up the world government in their eyes. Heaven is regarded as a state of nearness to God, hell as a state of remoteness from God. So the further you are away from God, the more in hell you are. The individual's destiny is sealed as a result of his or her spiritual endeavours. So works. What you do will determine where you end up. The writings of the Bab and Baha'u'llah are regarded as scripture. The holy books are called the Most Holy Book, the Book of Certitude, and also there's gleanings from the writings of Baha'u'llah. Baha'i has a very strong humanitarian emphasis. But just to brief you of the satanic nature of what they now call secular humanism, I'm just going to read something that was in a book by Thomas Sowell called Inside American Education. And the book, this is the extra bit of the title, The Decline, The Deception, The Dogmas. This is what he said in his book. Advocates of secular humanism have been quite clear and explicit as to the crucial importance of promoting their philosophy or their worldview in the schools to counter or undermine religious, and in brackets, which is Judeo-Christian, values among the next generation. The secular humanists, their aim and objective and goal is to counter and undermine Christianity. That's the essential aim. So I think we can all see that secular humanism has been very successful in their attempt to reduce the influence of Christianity in society, don't you think? I think it's done a great job in the schools, got all Christian prayer out of the schools. It's changed the mottos of some of the greatest universities in America, which were all Christian mottos, and they were set up and founded as Christian institutions. But that's all gone now. That part of their history has just been deleted. And that's all because of humanists. Modern Baha'i is also, or has a very anti-Christian agenda. Baha'u'llah laid down the following principles to bring about the unity of all religion. He said this: men must seek the truth in spite of custom, prejudice, and tradition. Men and women must have equal opportunities, rights, and privileges. The nations must choose an international language to be used along with the mother tongue. All children must receive a basic education. That's good. Men must make a systematic effort to wipe out all those prejudices which divide people. Men must work to abolish extreme wealth and extreme poverty. So on the surface, some of these statements seem quite good. Baha'is are anti-discrimination against race and gender, and this is a good thing, but it's also a biblical thing. However, to work for an international language is to work against God, who scattered the languages at Babel, because men were trying to reach the heavens. What God could foresee at Babel was men rebelling against God and rejecting him en masse. If this occurred, God would have wiped humankind out back then. If they'd achieved their objective, if they'd reached heaven, if they'd amassed all the things that they want to achieve, they wouldn't need God. They would be gods unto themselves. That meant humanity would have finished back then, because God would have been fed up and said, that's it, it's over. But to save us, he confused the language so we wouldn't unify and become Satanists, in essence. But to save men from eternal damnation, he scattered the languages in an effort to bring them back to dependence upon him. Of course, Satan has been working towards the unity of languages ever since. And English, of course, is now known as the universal language. I think it's moving in popularity, in economic circles, political circles, and all the countries of the world all learn English so that they can mix with the West. Baha'is believe that men must make a systematic effort to wipe out all those prejudices which divide people. That's heavy. In saying this, the Baha'is will be behind attempting to destroy Christianity as much as Islam is. Islam attempts to destroy Christianity. Hindus as well. Buddhists do. Atheists and agnostics do. Every time you hear an atheist talk about their views, it's nothing to do with their actual philosophy of life. It's always anti-Christian. That's their whole argument. It's always an argument against Christianity. It's not an argument for why they believe what they believe. It's always an anti what we believe. That's all atheism is. Atheists really should change the name, just haters of God or haters of Christianity. Like, I know atheists, they don't hate me, but they hate my view of life and they hate Jesus. The occult, we're going to find out, is all anti-Christian. Satanists, of course, very, extremely anti-Christian. Zionists, also anti-Christian. I'm going to read some passages from the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which are the actual protocols that the Illuminati set up hundreds of years ago and have been implementing ever since. And these are the most diabolical protocols that you'll ever hear in literature. And it's the bulk of it is a hatred towards Christianity. It doesn't talk about the rest of the world religions, just Christianity. That alone tells me that we're on the right path. True Christians must keep in mind in all of this the words that Jesus spoke in John 15:18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they would obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. That's an interesting statement. Okay, now witnessing to the Baha'i faith or the people of Baha'i. First thing we should remember to do is pray. 1 Timothy 2, 1-7 tells us to pray for others because there is only one way to eternal life, and that is through Jesus Christ. Praying will also help us to focus on God and the tasks at hand. Talk about sin. Baha'is do not believe in original sin. Ask the Baha'i if they believe if man is essentially good or bad. Ask them if they believe. Do you believe man is essentially good or bad? Ask them if they believe if they are good or not. Yeah, the good test. Who knows the good test? You pull up the Ten Commandments and you say, okay, have you ever stolen anything? And the person will go, no, even a paperclip. Have you stolen something, taken something that's not yours? And just about everybody will say, yes, I have. And then you'll say, well, what does that make you? And if they're honest, they'll say a thief. And then have you ever looked upon a married woman or another woman, and if you're married, with lust in your eyes? And they'll say, you know. What does that make you? According to Jesus says, if you look at someone with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery in your heart. So it makes them an adulterer. And you can go on. Have you ever murdered someone? Most people say no. But what did Jesus say? If you hate your brother, you have murdered them in your heart. And then they'll go, yes. So what does that make you? A murderer. So you go through the good test. And then you can present to them that they do sin. And that is what God considers sin. So, and also share the gospel. Share with them how they can be forgiven from breaking the law. There's actually a few scriptures, if you go on my website, they'll be on, that you can take from this. Also be loving and kind. Just show them the love of Christ. Let that radiate out towards them. Try not to be condemning, but just loving towards them. So thank you, Jesus, for this sermon today. Thank you for getting me through it, Lord. And I just pray that, Lord, that these people that are stuck in this religion, that you will help them to see the truth, that you are the only way to salvation. And that, Lord, that the religions of this world do not share the same God. They do not share the same message, but they are in conflict. Help them to see that you, Lord, are the, and Christianity, serving the living God, is the only way to truth. And Lord, help them to see that trying to unify them is working against you and working on the side of the enemy. And Lord, we only know this because of your word that we hold to in the Bible, and also by the Spirit who testifies in our heart that it is the truth. And Lord, we pray that you will speak to all of these people in the Baha'i faith by the Spirit of God. Because we know, Lord, that there are well-meaning, good people who are Baha'is. We know that there are Hindus, Buddhists and Muslims that are all good-hearted people, Lord. But they sin like we do, and they need your salvation like we do. They need your blood, Lord. They need the cross in their life. So, Lord, we pray by the Spirit of God that you will move through them and in them in the name of Jesus. Amen.